You got to really try and make the intro a little interesting from time to time. My daughters who do the Facebook videos of our announcements here, a couple of weeks ago, they did an intro to their announcements being them responding to a Trans-Siberian Orchestra song playing in the background and them acting as if they were involved in the process. So, hi, my name's Bob. Going to spend the next half hour with you here on the Refresh Radio program on WMIE 91.5 FM. I pastor Merit Assembly of God, and this is the day. This is the 26th to 27th year, starting end of the 26th, beginning of the 27th year of our pastoring at Merit Assembly of God. And so we're thankful. If you knew the history of the church, you'd find that most of the pastors did not stay very long. Some stayed a little longer. There were some that stayed 5 years and one that stayed 9 and one that stayed 13. I think another stayed 11. It had been 40 years since I had been there. So 13, 11, 9, 23, 28. So there was a lot of pastors that only made it a year or 2 years or 3 years. By the time I got there, I figured that I wouldn't be there very long. And now it's 26 years. That's a long time. You've been a part of it for the past 5+ years. And so we want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions. Bill and Heidi have been a part of our congregation for probably going on 10 years now. It's either going to be 10 or 12 this year. I know what cycle they started in, but I don't remember the year. I don't keep that number right at the top of my head. But they came in May, and then General Counsel started. So I know it was an odd number year, they'll be coming up on their 10 or 12 year anniversary for us at Merit Assembly of God. I think it's more than 10. It's more than 10. It's got to be 12. It's got to be 12, because there were some people who went away to school that year, and so it's got to be 12 years this year that they've been with us. So Creative AC Solutions, they are really, really good at changing the temperature inside of a facility, whether you need it warmer, whether you need it colder. Give them a call if you are in central part of Brevard County. They deal with the cooling and refrigeration aspects of life, heating and all that sort of stuff. If you like part of your house hot and part of your house cold, they might be able to help you to even figure out how to do that. But if your system is malfunctioning a little bit, or it needs to be tuned up or cleaned, give them a call, 321-759-3284. Don't put yourself in a life-threatening condition. You want to take care. You want to make sure that the atmosphere is a safe atmosphere, and they will come and help you to take care of any problems that you might have. So 321-759-3284 if they can be a blessing to you. This coming Sunday night is our church Christmas dinner. It's going to be taking place at 6:30. I'm preaching on Sunday mornings the message God has given to me, and I'm excited about this message. I never preached this exactly this way before, and so we'll be preaching the Word of God. We're going to be having a great banquet that night, and you're more than welcome to come. All we ask is that you RSVP by email, and the sooner the better. If you RSVP at 5:30, that's not going to help us out much. But like I said on an earlier broadcast, we don't want to turn a feast into a fast. We want to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to enjoy some wonderful, wonderful food. And that'll be 6:30 Sunday night. Next Wednesday will be our children's Christmas party, our children's ministry. And so we're excited to have that coming up as well. We just like to celebrate Jesus. I pray that every time we get together as body of Christ, it's a celebration. I mean, what a privilege that that God has granted us. We have been talking about the will of God in 1 Peter, and we've come for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. That was in chapter 2. Now we are in chapter 3, and it talks about how we respond to people who are persecuting us because we did the right thing. You know, that's one of those bewildering things, causes people lots of questions, doubts come up. Why do bad things happen to good people? We live in a fallen world. So how do we prepare ourselves? How do we handle that situation? And so we were talking on the program yesterday, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That was in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15. Be prepared to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. Do it with meekness and do it with fear. And it says, and have a good conscience. Have a good conscience. That means that you're keeping your relationship with God in good working order. You've repented of the things that you need to repent of, and you're doing the right things. Someone once said that a clean conscience makes for a good rest, something along those lines, where you don't go to bed at night wondering if somebody's going to get even with you because of some bad thing that you've done. And so I pray that this holiday season, this Christmas season, that you will be proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, and that you're going to be able to do it with a good conscience. You're not going to be a hypocrite about it. You're proclaiming it, you're living it, and you want others to experience the same goodness that you have. Okay, having a good conscience, and when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed, for it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Okay, so we want to make sure that we have a good conscience. And here is one of those things where it does not say if they defame you as evildoers. It says when they do. Don't be surprised when sinners act like sinners. We in the church, we get shocked when people act like their nature. And the truth of the matter is God wants to change their nature, but we can't be shocked. You know, I asked our congregation, how many of you were professional sinners before you became Christians? I mean, you're good at it. You had skills. And there are a lot of people that's where they are. And a lot of times Christians want to look at people who have a quite substantial sin legacy, and they want to write them off. And I want you to know that's not what God wants us to do. That's a testimony in the making. I believe that there are two glorious testimonies. One is that you grew up in the church and you fell in love with Jesus and your heart never wandered, and you've stayed true to him all these years. That's a glorious testimony. I think that's a substantial testimony. And then there is the other type of testimony that said, before I ever knew of Jesus, I was doing all sorts of things that Jesus didn't want me to do, and it almost killed me. It caused me lots of heartache and misery and pain and suffering. But Jesus came, and he delivered me from all of that, and I am so thankful that I'm never going to walk away from it. Okay? And so we cannot be afraid of fellowshipping with unbelievers. They're the reason we're still here. If it was just about a gathering of saints together, then the trumpet ought to sound already, because that's what heaven is. Heaven is a gathering of the saints together, that so shall we be together with the Lord. That's what heaven is. We're on mission right now. We're on mission. And so if you've got people who are hurting and broken and wounded, God has strategically placed you in a mission field. And if they act like sinners, because they are sinners, and they revile your good conduct in Christ, you want to live your life in such a way that when they're out there bad-mouthing your faith and your lifestyle, that eventually they're going to be ashamed, because in reality, they know where the real problem lies. Isn't it interesting that the thief on the cross, when Jesus was crucified, he turned to the other thief and he said, "What are you doing? We deserve to be here. But this guy here, he's not cut from the same cloth we are. He doesn't deserve to be here like we do." And he turned to Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." I'm not here to shame, and I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to love. I'm here to help, to reach. I mean, if there are people out in the ocean and I happen to be there and they're drowning, I'm not going to just go on by and say, "Well, you know, I got to see if you pass the smell test first," or there's got to be something that could be done to help get this person out of the water. I mean, if you don't reach them, you know, Reinhard Bonnke has an evangelistic tool. It was a video training series, an evangelism series. And he said, too many people think that the ship that they're on is a cruise ship when it's actually a rescue ship. You and I, we need to realize that we're not here to drown out the noise of people who are dying in their trespasses and sins. We're here to reach them with the good news of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you, when was the last time that you had a person who was treating you badly because you were a Christian, and eventually a person came along and said, "You know what? Dude, you got it all wrong. They're not fake Christians. They're the real deal. They're the real deal." Be real, be authentic, be genuine in your life. He said, "Those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed." And he says this, and here's the thought-provoking passage we've been working towards. "For it is better, if it is the will of God, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil." It's better. A lot of times we want to choose what is best. I want what is best. I've got a family member, and listen, when we were younger, even now, a lot of the things that we have are not the best, but they're better than they were. And I've got a person that I'm thinking of, and now they will save. They will do whatever is necessary. But you know what? They're going to have the best. And a lot of times the best has better value to it than some of the least expensive. A Sunday school teacher many, many years ago said that the people living the lowest quality of life have the greatest price tag for the life that they live. Some, they might not pay for it in dollars and cents, but they pay for it with basic necessities being neglected. They pay for it in their health. They pay for it with a lack of fundamental needs. And many times it's not because they have to live that way. They choose to live that way. So today I want to ask you, are you okay with better, even if it's not best? And Jesus, or Peter here, says that when it comes to living for God, that if you are living the will of God, if you are doing what is right and you suffer, it is still better than doing the wrong thing. It is better to live for God and get in trouble for it than it is to live like a sinner. And I know that that is hard to do. It's hard to be a Christian when you look around and you see the wicked prosper. I want to take you back to the book of Psalms. Psalm 73. This is not just a New Testament problem. This is not just a current problem. It's something that goes all the way back to Psalm 73. This is a psalm of Asaph. It says, "Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongues walk through the earth. Therefore his people return here, and waters of a full cup are drained by them. And he says, how does God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakes. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was vexed in my mind. I was so foolish and ignorant, I was like a beast before you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For indeed those who are far from you shall perish. You have destroyed all those who desert you for harlotry, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all your works." You see, there have been people who have been doing life all the wrong way and enjoying all of the bounty that this world has to offer, but they're spiritually bankrupt. And then there are people who are abounding spiritually, but they seem to go from one challenge to another challenge to another challenge. And yet Jesus is on the throne in their life. And Asaph was being very real, and he said, it almost caused me to slip. It almost caused me to stumble until I entered the sanctuary, and then I understood what their end was like. So I don't want you looking for the easy path. I want you looking for the best path. And when you find yourself being persecuted for doing the right thing, instead of choosing the evil thing, choose the better and say, you know what, God, I'm going to continue to do the right thing. Now, if you go over to chapter 4, so we'd be in 1 Peter chapter 4, it says in verse number 1, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. So here we find another reason that they are speaking evil of us, and that is we refuse to join in all of their reindeer games. If I can just throw a little Christmas reference in there. We don't do the same things. You see, nobody likes to stick out, even if there's only one individual that's sticking out. Everybody wants, as far as this world goes, they want conformity. They want conformity. And God is looking for transformed men and women. And so because of the fact that they want everybody to be doing the same things that they are doing, it says, we've spent enough time doing the will of those who do not know God. He said, but I tell you what, when you have suffered in the flesh because of sin, it'll cause you to want to stop. You know, the old joke, doctor, it hurts when I do this. Well, stop doing that. Stop doing that. If it's causing pain, if it's causing heartache, if it's causing misery, stop doing that. You know, there's a verse that says, he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. There are people who are pursuing things and they know it's ruining their lives, but they keep pursuing them anyway. When you come to that place that says, you know what? I am done with this. I'm ready to run for the will of God. That becomes the purpose. Let me read verse number two, the end of verse number one. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. How much longer do you have in this life? Don't get discouraged. Don't throw in the towel. Even if you're getting closer to the finish line day by day, do not throw in the towel. Be like David and said, I am not going to perish until I have fulfilled the will of God in all my generation. I'm not living for the conveniences of the flesh. I'm not living for the lusts of the flesh or the lust of the eyes or the boastful pride of life. I'm living for the will of God. And it says there's an entirely different way of living when you're living for the will of God. You are not looking to satisfy yourself. You are looking to please him. And so you're not going to be walking around in uncleanness. You're going to be walking around in purity. You're not going to be walking and living your life filled with the lusts of the flesh. You're going to be having the cravings and the desires of the Spirit. You're not going to be walking around in drunkenness. You're going to be filled with the Spirit. It's not going to be about drinking parties. It's going to be about divine celebrations because someone just gave their heart to Jesus. It's not going to be about idolatry. It is going to be living for the one true God. And so when there is this stark dichotomy between what a Christian is participating in and what the world is participating in, then all of a sudden they begin to think that you're the weird one. You're not normal. You're not conforming. You know, what did they do in World War II whenever somebody was not thinking exactly the way that they were wanting them to think? They would send them to different camps to instill in them, look, this is the only way you think. Because when you live in a carnally driven society, difference of thought cannot be tolerated. You know what? I'll say this. If you don't want to believe in Jesus, that's not okay with me. But it is permissible for you. I don't want you to spend an eternity without him, because that is so much worse than what God's will for your eternity is. But you're free to believe or not believe, whatever it is you believe. You don't have to believe in Jesus. You don't have to believe in heaven. You don't have to believe in hell. It doesn't change the reality on any of that. But I wonder if you're willing to give Christians the same prerogative. Are you willing to give Christians the right to believe in purity? Are you willing to allow us to go around very sober-minded? Can you tolerate? Are you okay if somebody doesn't believe exactly the way that you believe? Too many times we keep going down the list until we find that difference of distinction and say, okay, that's the deal breaker for me. I knew there was a deal breaker, just we had to get along sooner or later. If that was the case, my wife and I would have never been married for as long as we have. You know, over three decades now, we have been married. But that doesn't mean that we think exactly the same way on all sorts of issues. She loves curry chicken, and I love not being anywhere near curry chicken. And that's just something that's very easy to come up with. She loves it, and I'm not a fan. I don't like the smell of it nor the taste of it. So we're okay with that. So you know what we do? Sometimes we go and we have Chinese food for her, and sometimes we go out, a lot more times we actually go out for me and have Mexican, because that's my favorite food group. Anyway, live today, live this Thursday for the will of God. It's worth it. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio
Program. Thank
you for
tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Well, you was a baby like I was once. You was crying in the early morning. You was born in a stable, Lord. Memorial is where I was born, and they wrapped you in swaddling clothes. Me, they dressed in baby blue. When I was 12 years old in the meeting house, I listened to the old men pray. Well, I was trying hard to figure out what it was that they was trying to say. That you were in the temple. You said you weren't old enough to know the things you knew. Well, did you grow up hungry? Did you grow up fast? Did the little girls giggle when you walked past? Did you wonder what it was that made them laugh? And did they tell you stories about the saints of old? Stories about their faith? They say stories like that make a boy grow bold. Stories like that make a man walk straight. And you was a boy like I was once. Was you a boy like me?